There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So says C.S. Lewis. He continues by saying that either error is used equally by Satan to destroy us, to cause us to lose focus and to overcome Christians. Isn't that true today? We've either got an unhealthy interest in demons and the occult and demonic possession. You get all sorts of films as to these guys who have got special little devices where you go looking for ghosts and spirits and all sorts of things. Or on the other hand, we don't believe that they exist. Satanic oppression or possession is not that real. It's all in the mind. We're going to deal with spiritual warfare over the next 3 weeks. And I hope it makes it really very real to you as to the fact that we are involved in a warfare, that we can't just push aside this whole thing. And because of our history and our bad history of the Crusades, that we think, okay, well, we can't speak about warfare. The Bible says we are involved in a battle. And if we're not willing to acknowledge that right up front, then we're never prepared for the battle. I want to introduce the thoughts of Bob Bevington, a Christian author who wrote a book called The Good News About Satan. He's got 3 points in part of his book. He says, deception targets your mind. Temptations targets your desires. Accusation targets your conscience. Now, if that's not enough to tell us that we are involved in a conflict every single moment of each day, and we are quite likely to fall prey to Satan somewhere along the line of the day, then I don't know what will encourage us to put on this armor that God has given to us, to prepare ourselves for battle. Ephesians 6 verse 13 gives us the start to the armor which we need to strap onto us every day. And the most important thing that we can read in this is not that we are advancing or that we're retreating, but that we're standing. 4 times it's mentioned. Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. Constantly on the news, we've got the reality of the war in Ukraine. There is not for a moment or a second in the day that you have to remind a soldier that he is involved in conflict. He's always aware of it. In the middle of his sleep, he's aware that the enemy can attack. His weapon is always with him. Every time he steps out on patrol with his weapon in his hand, he knows that he might never come to the end of that patrol. Not alive at any rate. He's so tuned to battle that he knows he could be the next person even to die, even though he might not see his enemy. Because you don't see an enemy doesn't mean to say they're not threatening. Anybody who's had some money taken out of your account through some sort of cyber theft, you don't have to see your enemy to know that the enemy's out there. And if I were to say to you, it's not if money gets taken out of your account, it's when money gets taken out of your account, suddenly you would go home and you do some very serious thinking about what you need to do to make yourself safe. First point that I need to make this morning is that the battle is certain. Think of the impact of the words if or when. See, the enemy is not likely to give you fair warning as to when they're going to attack. It's not a little sort of knock on the door, excuse me, today's the day I'm going to attack you in a big way. Prepare yourself for it. Just by way of statistics, picture a chap in a cash in transit vehicle moving from Johannesburg to Durban. Those guys have got full protection on. They're expecting to be attacked, and every car that goes around their vehicle is a potential threat. They're very aware that it might not just be that the people want to take the money, but they might be killed in the process as well. And so they're trained to react when they are attacked. Picture a cash in transit vehicle in Sweden. They are trained to take preventative action if they are ever attacked. And the likelihood? 2 years ago, there were cash in transit heists in Sweden. 20 in the whole year, if they are attacked. Last year, there were no attacks at all. Do you think those guys have the same vigilance? Do you think they put on their safety uniforms and protective gear in the same way that the guys here in South Africa put on their gear? You see, we're in that conflict zone. We are to expect spiritual attack. And you need to keep the full armor of God in every single day, because you will face Satan's attacks, his schemes. It's not left up to you to decide whether you think it's worthwhile to put it on, or do I think I'm going to be vulnerable today? Should I put on the armor of God? God says you're going to face it, and I'm not asking you to advance. I'm not asking you to retreat. I'm asking you just to stand. Stand against Satan. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But if you think that you're going to stand in your own strength, you're going to get beaten up just about every day. You'll only stand at the end of the battle if you've got the whole armor of God securely in place. I was drawn to the words of Onward Christian Soldiers while I was preparing it. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. When last did you prayerfully put on the armor of God? Because the battle is certain. When last did you even think about that? Does it even bother you? If you go back to the quote from C.S. Lewis that I read earlier, your problem is one of two issues. Either the thought of the fight hasn't even crossed your mind in the past week, and you're unaware of the struggle for your soul, and you really don't care if you give in to sinfulness during the course of the week. Or you see Satan as this massive threat that you can't overcome, and you're weak and you feel ineffective as a Christian. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to cope. I'm just going to have to give him to him once again. And you become discouraged or even spiritually depressed. Know that the fight is certain. Second point. Know that the battle is for truth. I never thought that this book would be so up to date as it is nowadays. The battle is for truth, because we live in a post-truth era. The word post-truth was named Word of the Year by the Oxford Dictionary and describes assertions that feel true but have no basis in fact. That's a defined term in the Oxford Dictionary. In a post-truth world, Central Denver article called Lies, Alternative Facts, and the Struggle for Truth. In a post-truth world, lies lies or alternative facts are widely shared over the internet within a network whose members trust each other more than mainstream news sources and quickly take on appearances as truth. Research shows increasingly when presented with evidence that contradicts a strongly held belief, we humans tend to ignore facts in the interest of maintaining belief. You are lying has become, I emphatically disagree. It's not clear, as perhaps it once was, what it means to tell the truth, even to oneself. That's the age in which we live. You can't tell me that I'm wrong. I can't tell you that you're wrong. It's all a matter of what we believe for ourselves. And we're fighting this battle of truth. Everybody makes up a truth that suits themselves. There's no such thing as right or wrong. I'm a proud Liverpool supporter. I'm even more proud this morning. FA Cup final. It was wonderful. It was nail-biting right to the end, extra time. And if somebody told me Chelsea won last night, I'd say, I don't know what you're smoking, but you're wrong. Chelsea won 4-0. No extra time. I'll say, I was watching the match. 0-0 after extra time. Liverpool won 6-5 on penalties. We can't both be right. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. The issue of truth is not up to individuals to decide whether they want to believe it or not. This isn't a Twitter feed that you can say, oh, well, that's certain perspective, certain bias. I don't know that I accept it. We've become so used to fake news and misinformation and disinformation and propaganda that when we turn on a TV channel, we say, I'm not sure that I can even believe them. You watch the same news you watch the same event broadcast by Russia Today or CNN, you're going to get two very different views. If you could get Russia Today in South Africa nowadays. A research institute put the burden of responsibility on government, educational institutions, mass media, and technology companies to look for truth before they put it onto digital platforms. Every person decides for themselves today what is true. And we've discarded the truth of God. Sold it as a lie. Why? Because the very devil that we were speaking about is the father of lies. He speaks his native language when he lies. And we'd rather listen to lies than to God. How do I know that it's a battle in everybody's soul? Because we all lie. Abram lied about Sarah, or told Sarah to lie that she wasn't really his wife, but his sister. Sarah laughed to those visitors when she said, I didn't really laugh when you told me that I'd have a son. Jacob and 12 or 11 brothers of Joseph lied to their fathers. Mrs. Potiphar lied to Mr. Potiphar. Samson lied about the secret of his strength. And so I could go through every single person in the Bible and show where they haven't been 100% truth. And that's true for politicians today. It's true for ministers today. It's true for congregation members today. It is true in every single one of us. We need the truth. Far more important than the crime rate in South Africa. What's happening with your investments or Bitcoin shares or what's going to happen to my investments in 3 years' time is the fact that the wages of sin is death. And if we disregard the truth of God, we've fallen prey to Satan. The battle for truth is real. It needs to be everything that holds all our clothes together. When a soldier had to move in battle, he would tuck his robes and everything into his belt so that they wouldn't get in the way. That's how vital truth is to everything that we do and everything that we say. My last point is that it's not only certain, it's not for truth only, it's for righteousness as well. Stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. As I was going through this, I thought, is that speaking about the righteousness that Jesus gives me? There's a problem if I'm only focusing on the breastplate of righteousness as the robe of righteousness. If I substitute the one for the other and think that they're synonymous, I don't think that's true. Because the breastplate of righteousness, if it were synonymous with the robe of righteousness, the robe of righteousness is something that Jesus gives to me, not so? It's something that he puts on me. It's my righteousness conferred on me by Christ. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if it's speaking about that righteousness, I've got a problem, because that means I can take that righteousness off. I can't do that. I can't put righteousness on and take righteousness off. So I wouldn't be encouraged to put on every day the breastplate of righteousness. Do you see how dangerous it becomes then? Because it really depends when I die. If I can take the righteousness off and leave it off, and I go to work that day without my breastplate of righteousness on, what happens to my robe of righteousness if I were to die there and then? However, I've also got a problem. If this righteousness is my own righteousness, which I put on myself every day. Because if any of you knew me, like my family or people who know me well know me, my righteousness is like tin foil against a machine gun. Not effective at all in terms of battle. What does it mean then? I think it's a combination of the two. I think it's the knowledge that Jesus Christ has saved me and declared me righteous that I've got to strap onto myself every day so that when the fiery arrows of Satan assault me, I know that nothing can penetrate to my vital organs. I know the schemes of Satan trying to convince me that I'm not worthy of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I'm not righteousness in myself. And how can I claim to be a Christian? How could I even stand behind this pulpit and proclaim the gospel of grace to you, the sinner that I am? And if that were to restrain me from speaking to you, or if it were to restrain you from speaking to any of your friends, saying, I can't tell them about Jesus Christ and his forgiveness until I become better, then we would never be any use to the Lord at all. We would never be in that place that we become righteous enough to speak to somebody else about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Satan tells me what a rotten job I'm doing as a minister. How weak I am. Immediately I become downcast and self-absorbed. Because Satan is too big and I can't overcome. And that's the time that I need the righteousness of Christ over me saying, I know I'm not worthy. But everything that I've done wrong, everything that I'm inadequate to do, Christ has done for me. The battle has been won. The victory has been gained on the cross. But that doesn't stop me from still being involved in a battle. And as I grow in love for God, as I grow in my desire to please Christ, I grow in trust and righteousness. And I know that Christ will not abandon me. And when I know that, I'm more likely to think more of God, to do more in the power that He gives me, to pray more earnestly, to read the Bible more intelligently, to speak to others more confidently, to live more righteously. And that becomes a life I want to live, because I've strapped the breastplate of righteousness to my chest, so that whatever other people say about my inadequate example, and whatever Satan tells me is truthful about my sinfulness, I say, it's not me. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness, is everything I hold on to. I can do nothing in my own strength. I do everything through Him who strengthens me. And I need to guard against those lies spread by the forces of evil that I'm not good enough for Jesus to save. He's a liar. I need to know that. And when He does give me the truth, He laces it with lies to say, God's not going to keep protecting you. I quoted Bob Bevington at the start of the sermon. Let me just pick up on another quote from him. He says, Jesus made the following points about the devil. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. Whenever you find spiritual deception, the enemy is at hand. And I just love this next sentence. Satan and his demons are more interested in putting lies in your heart than fang marks in your flesh. How often do we go looking for Satan and those fang marks? We want to see satanic evidence. We need to see the paranormal happening somewhere. We want to experience music stands being thrown across a church in the middle of a night, midnight. He carries on here, is an astonishing statement supported by Scripture, and one you should be wise to take note of. The father of lies has demonstrated the ability to implant lies into the hearts of men and women. How do you save your heart? Breastplate of righteousness. How can you be confident? Belt of truth. The battle is coming. It's going to be in the life of your family today. How are you preparing yourself? As we continue with spiritual warfare, let's not be distracted and suppose that we need some special exorcism. Know that the world, the flesh, and the devil is warring for your soul. The battle is certain. The battle is over truth and over righteousness. And standing firm means that we can say with Paul, what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Fighting language. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. Father in heaven, would you tell us, would you remind us would you inscribe in our hearts that you are a God of love, a God of mercy and forgiveness? And when we feel assaulted, attacked, discouraged, downtrodden,
We pray, gracious God, that we would have had the good sense to put on our armor at the start of the day. For we ask this to the glory of your name.